welcome to the show. Oh my goodness. So, you know, every now and again, we got to take a break from the normal programming and kind of have a special episode. We're going to do that. This week, we have a special Halloween episode with my dear friend and yours. We have a paranormal and true crime podcaster, Todd Michaels, dear friend of the show, wonderful man. Todd, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Y'all ready for this?
I don't know. Do you have any like traditions that you had from growing up or now?
Well, a couple of traditions, Halloween in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
When you're a kid, buying your costume large enough that you could wear a snowsuit under, right?
Yes.
Do that because every year it could either be really decent or you could have a couple of inches of snow that you had to go out in, one or the other.
Yes.
I'll have to be honest with you. I'm kind of disappointed this year because last year I went all out on my house and had all the decorations, like huge skeletons, big spiders on the side of my house, the floodlights. I had a big bubbling cauldron out front, all that stuff. This year I haven't done anything. And I don't know if it's because it just doesn't quite feel like it yet, but it is that time of year.
So. It is. Yeah, the Halloween costume that's warm enough or the room enough to fit the long underwear and stuff that hits home. We would always watch It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Of course.
You have to do that. So I'm allergic to peanuts. And so trick or treating was never like, the most awesome thing in the world because it's like, "Oh, sweet. Thank you for the Reese's peanut butter cup that will kill me if I eat it. This is great." And then I had three brothers that we would all go home and then we would have to do the great candy trade because Mark can't eat a third of his stuff. And my brothers were, they were swindlers, Todd. They swindled me. They were like, you want this Milky Way? Okay, it's going to cost you three, Butterfingers or whatever it was. So it was terrible.
So in other words, your parents had to check the candy for like the typical razor blade and all the bad stuff, right?
Yes.
But also because of the peanut, the nut allergy.
Yep, razor blades. Yeah, it's in our rough and tumble neighborhood growing up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of what we did. And
I'm kind of sad for you. That's really sad. I never even thought about that aspect of trick or treating.
Yeah, it was super lame. It wasn't very fun. But I wanted to have someone on to kind of talk about, paranormal stuff and especially here in Wisconsin. So I know you've been involved in some hunts and all these kind of exciting things. So how did that get started?
Well, I will always say this, like I first got interested in ghosts and spirits and stuff like that when the Amityville Horror movie came out. Because that was when it was the first one really that I remember as a child where it was like, oh, here's a story about a haunted house based on a real story, like true events, right?
Okay.
So I remember being like, holy crap, ghosts are real, even though your parents say they're not. And here's the funny thing about my family. So I wasn't allowed to know anything about it because it was quote unquote too scary. So my mom and dad went to the movie and my mom bought the book. Well, the only bookcase in the house growing up was in my bedroom.
Nice.
So the scary book was in my bedroom all the time and I was not allowed to look at it.
Oh, God.
So I would sneak it out like most young men sneak other things out to look at. Uh-huh. I'm looking at the Amityville Horror. And I did get caught one time, like lying in bed, reading the Amityville Horror. And I had to like put it under the sheets and stuff like that when my mom came in. So that was where it really started. And then I think for a lot of people like me, and I know you've investigated too, which I can't believe we haven't had longer conversations on that.
But
like when Ghost Hunters came out and the TV shows came out, you're like, wow, there's actually people going out and investigating this for real. It's not just kind of joking around kind of stuff. So that's really when I got into it, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, when that stuff came out.
Yeah. For me, when that whole thing started, I worked at Heritage Hill.
Oh man.
And, And I didn't think about that at all, about paranormal anything. And then I was giving tours to kids. Because that's what I did. I took a year off between high school and college and was giving tours and I worked in the hospital, which was one of the two buildings that are original to the soldier part of it. And it was in the middle of like winter time. It was freaking cold. And one of the doors was open. One of the doors was locked. The locked one was in the back. And the shoes that you wear have like, they're called brogans. They have like a horseshoe almost on the heel, because that's what they wore at the time, because it protected the shoe and all that stuff. But it was very distinct sound when you walked over the wood. And I was giving a tour and I heard someone walking upstairs. And I'm like, oh, that's just the other dude. He's getting stuff, because it was storage. And I went up there and like, oh, I expect to see Chris, and he's not there. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that was weird. And he's got his stuff and left. Gave another tour, same thing. And then I like, there's phones. And so I called the other room and I'm like, the other building across the park. I'm like, what are you doing? Why, what the hell is this? Like, are you punking me? He's like, what are you talking about? There's no one in there. And so then that freaked the hell out of me. And then one of the schools that came was the Oneida Nation. And there was one of the elders that like wouldn't even come in, because he's like, this building, it's messed up. I'm not coming in. Yes.
Right.
And then he did that. And then all of a sudden there was like, bum, 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 bum upstairs. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, like what is going on? So that was like where that started in my head. There's something to this.
Right. Right. And I don't know how you are, but for me, it was when I first started, it was like, oh, I want to go see a ghost. I want to get scared. Right.
Yeah.
And then you start, and then you, for a long time, I didn't have any experiences at all. Like literally it was going out and it was investigating for hours and hours and hours and really being skeptical of it. And I think that's always good anyway. Like not everything is a ghost. We know that. But then it took a while. And then finally, at one point, I had a few things happen in my own home when I had a visitor come and do some investigating with me.
Oh, really?
And that then opened it up where I was having experiences more often. So I feel like that kind of plays into it. I think you're either open to it to start with or not. And I think the energy that you bring and the others, whoever you're investigating with, bring actually play a big role into whether or not you typically get any kind of activity and stuff like that. You mentioned Heritage Hill in Green Bay, but I think of all the places around the state of Wisconsin that are reportedly haunted. And then all the places too, like that I've actually had a chance to go and investigate. And it's amazing. When I think back to some of the experiences I've had, it's freaking nuts.
What would you say? Like give a story of one of the ones that you've experienced.
I'll first off say that I think humans are scarier than ghosts.
Yeah.
And there's different levels of like the, oh, wow, experiences. If you want to stick in Green Bay, I've never actually investigated at Heritage Hill, but I've always wanted to do that. A couple of places in and around Green Bay and the lakeshore, Captain's Walk Winery, right? That place we've investigated before.
Really?
And got some really good evidence. A lot of lights, light play and stuff like that, that we got in that area. And on the lakeshore, if you've not been to the Maritime Museum,
yeah.
You have got to go. Not only because it's because of the history, but there's definitely some activity out there.
Really?
And they've got plenty of stories about, you know, captains on some of the boats and ships that they have out there. But actually inside in the museum, there's some activity there as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is so... like attached to the artifacts, do you think?
I mean, another one in Green Bay, it's probably one of my, like, if I had to make a list of the top 10,
yeah,
it would be in the top five, and that's the National Railroad Museum.
Man. Really?
That place has so much energy. And I think I'm a believer that we leave behind our energy no matter what we do. And I think it's prevalent or you see it on a daily basis when somebody walks in a room. If you've got a room of 20 people and somebody walks in, that one person can make such a big difference in the energy with that crowd, right? You can either bring the energy up and make it a great experience, or you can bring the energy down. And I think that we leave that behind, not only in our life every day, but I think in the places we go to. And so when you're talking about maritime stuff, lighthouses, and you talk about ships, these people, that was hard life, you know, working on ships and running lighthouses and stuff like that. I think a lot of their energy was left behind. And National Railroad, I feel the same way about the railroad. Like people who lived that lifestyle, gave their all to that lifestyle. And really, you know, there was a lot of death and tragedy, but that particular investigation, we used something called a laser grid. Have you ever used one of those before?
I've not, but I've seen those on TV.
Yeah.
I've seen them being used.
So we were in the actual museum. You did investigate the real museum.
Really?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was on the ones you wanted to. I didn't realize you went.
I've been there, and you know, we were in the Pullman car.
Yes.
Which was primarily, you know, staffed by African Americans at the time.
Yep.
And I remember when we were there, President Obama was the president. And some of the things we were asking was, do you realize that in the year that we are now, we have a president who is Black, right? Can you imagine that? We got some responses in there on our audio equipment that was kind of interesting. The main thing that happened, though, with that laser grid, if you've ever been to the National Railroad Museum, it's this just huge building with train cars and steam engines and all that kind of stuff kind of lined up. And of course, there's big pillars throughout the entire facility to hold up this huge building. And we had the light grid kind of going down the alleyway between the boxcars and stuff. And we kept seeing the shadow peek out from behind one of the pillars.
Oh, wow.
And I had never seen a shadow figure like that before in my life. And it just kept kind of peeking around me like, oh my God, there it is again. There it is again. And all of a sudden it darted. And our director and producer went after it with a camera.
Okay.
And actually caught it on the big steam engine running up into the cab of the
Come
steam
on.
Engine, into the like where the driver would be, it was amazing. We got that.
Is and that posted somewhere?
It was on Amazon Prime for a long time. I'm not sure if you can actually get that program anymore. It was called Haunted State.
Oh my
but
God!
That is where we got that. And to be honest, I didn't see it at the time of the investigation. None of us did.
Oh, like really?
We saw the figures peeking out. We saw that, but we didn't realize that we had the footage that we got on the train. It was amazing. And so when we first sat down and actually watched it kind of as a premiere for us to kind of critique it and stuff, we were all blown away by it.
What the hell was that?
Absolutely. It was freaking crazy. I'd never seen anything like that before. So Green Bay, a lot of great hauntings right there. And you would expect that. Being on the water, right? The river's right there. And all of the tension that was there at that part of our country with the different groups trying to trade. You had the Native Americans, you had the French, you had all these people who wanted to set up shop there and live there. So there was a lot of tumultuous times at some point in our history.
Yeah, no kidding. And we're talking with Todd Michaels, who's the paranormal enthusiast podcast host guy. I'm gonna tell a story about the Railroad Museum when we come back, because we're members and we spend so much time there as a family. And stick around. We're talking to Todd Michaels here on the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back after this.